I'm starting tonight what will be a series of messages. I think I've told everybody that at the library when they had an awards night for the staff, the award that I won was the most likely to lengthen a meeting. And I got a certificate and a little plastic trophy for it. And I can believe it because messages, I've used this message before and I preached it in one service. How in the world I ever got through it? And I know it, the people must have built up a great endurance because of, this is going to end up multiple messages. All right, James chapter 3, I want to begin reading at verse 2. James 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man, did you see what that started out with? In many things we offend all. I mean, so many, many are offended. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. I mean, no perfect there doesn't mean sinless, but mature, complete as a Christian. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. You'll see as we read through this, when a person can control their tongue, they're able to have the rest of their life in order. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to come about automatically. It just means that if they can put forth the determination and dependence upon God, both are needed, determination and dependence upon God to control the tongue, then they're able to deal with other things in their life. Now, but you think about that, and I'm speaking personally. Am I not able to control some other areas because I can't control my tongue? Something to ask yourself. Behold, he gives us some analogies here. We put bits in the horses' mouths. Why? So that they'll obey us. And we are able to turn their whole body, that great big strong animal, we're able to turn their whole body about because of the bits that's in the mouth. I wonder what kind of bit God wants to put into our lives in order for us to be able to control. Then he says another analogy, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. This great big ship, fierce winds blowing, but a small object in comparison to the whole thing is able to direct it. And then he goes on and he says, in because of these two illustrations, he says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So now he goes from the horse and the ship, and he talks now about the tongue and what the tongue is able to do in this matter, and he likens it to a fire. And he says, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now you know this building could be set on fire and burned down by just a little fire. It wouldn't take much. But some fire enabled somewhere, perhaps in a receptacle or a light fixture, and it sets a fire, and it grows. You see, that's the thing. The fire grows from little to consume, and so it is that in our lives, the tongue can set a fire because it can end up growing. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. members, meaning our hands, our feet, our eyes, you know, the whole body and the parts of it, as Paul refers in Romans 6, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. The tongue's an important marital relationships are strained and stressed because of a failure to control the tongue. Of parent-child relationships many times deteriorate because of the failure to control the tongue. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Now, isn't that interesting? You see what he says there? You know, serpents can be tamed. We know birds can, but he says every kind of beast. I watch one of them educational channels, and it talked about the water buffalo. And man, massive beasts. But every kind of beasts, birds, serpents, and then things in the sea. Now, it says here that mankind has been able to tame things in the sea. Well, now we know from Marine World and Game Farm, and we know from whatever that place in Florida is, you know, that works with dolphins, you know. We know they do that with dolphins and even the one, you know, species of the whale. And we know that much, but they didn't, this wasn't written back when they had those kind of places.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say. He says, in the sea is tamed. Then verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. We can tame beasts, birds, serpents, and sea creatures, but we're not able to tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil. And what makes it an unruly evil? It's full of deadly poison. Words spoken in haste can cause so much trouble. Marriages have been damaged by the misuse of the tongue, and they get healed and they get repaired, but they've been fractured, you see. And therewith, verse 9, bless we God. We bless God with the tongue, even the Father. But look what she saw. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Well, isn't that something? We bless God with our tongue, but then we'll go ahead and we'll curse, and that doesn't just mean to pronounce a curse on, but we use our tongue. At one time, we want to use our mouth to praise God, and then the next time, we'll use our mouth to put down a person. Now, notice why this is so bad. Herewith bless we God, with the tongue we'll bless God, even the Father, and therewith, with the tongue, with a curse, we curse men which are made after the similitude of God. The reason it's wrong and bad to curse a person is because people are made after the image of God. When he created Adam and Eve, he said within the Trinity, he says, let us make man in our what? Image. And that's what similitude means. Now, that's not a word I use commonly. I didn't get up with Pat and say, hey, did you see the similitude of such and such? I'll say, you know, I'll use other words, but that's what it means. that which is made in the image of that. And so you can't use your tongue and bless God in one sentence and then in the next one curse man. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No, one or the other. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? I don't think so. Fig trees bear figs. And olive trees bear olives. But neither one of them will bear the other. Either a vine fig, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endured with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. Now, conversation is, in the Old English, is our word conduct. That's what we would use today, conduct. Now, I understand why they used conversation. Because you see, what a person says comes as a result of their conduct.
That's good.
And what they are. But our use of conversation is limited to just words, whereas back then it involved more than words. Verse 14, but if ye have bitter envying and strife, here's the key. If ye have bitter envying and strife in your what? Tell me.
Hearts.
Glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't say one thing and do another. Don't think that you can praise God and then dishonor man and lie not against the truth. verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above. The kind of wisdom that says you can have bitter and sweet coming out of the same fountain. That's earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is what? Confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. It's approachable, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Without partiality. It's natural that some people, you will be able to have one relationship with some people and a different kind of relationship with another. But we should not show partiality. One of the things that drove me up a wall in the children's clubs that we conducted was how some leaders, fortunately not most, but some leaders, if they liked somebody, they were partial to them. And that child could just about destroy things, and they were just a sweet little kid. But then if that same leader had some other child that they didn't care for, that wasn't a pet of theirs, that kid would be pounced on if he just looked the wrong way, let alone did something. Now, we're told here there ought not be that kind of partiality. We should not have the hypocrisy. We ought to treat people alike. Now, as I said, there's some people that it's more natural for a person to get along with than maybe some others. That's normal. But partiality, you see, partiality is what he speaks against here. And then he goes on in the last verse of this chapter, and the fruit of righteousness. Now, you see, that's key, the fruit of righteousness. Do we want the fruit of righteousness? Or are we just happy and content to live the nominal Christian life? No, we should want righteousness to come out of our lives. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them. Here it is. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You see, we can't We can't work against peace and think that we're going to be righteous. It doesn't work that way. Now, as I told you, this is a message that I used before. I've known some men who it was their conviction for themselves that they would never use a sermon twice. And, you know, that was how they felt for themselves.
That's right.
Now, the people who heard me first preach this would never recognize it from what it'll be today, okay? And good night. I went through my files and I looked for some messages that I felt would be helpful to us as a church.
Amen.
And I took those half a dozen file folders of sermons and I put them over here. Over here on my desk is where the prayer meeting ones go. And then next to them is where I put Sunday school ones. Yeah, I'm still writing new messages, okay? I'm still writing new messages. But I have to chuckle because of what Mike said. He's going to do some work at the house, and when he was there, I had said something about, well, yeah, Pat plays her CDs on that. And he chuckled, and I wondered why, and he said, Pastor, he said, most people are into MP3 players and on their phone, and they have all their music on their phone, and I see Linda nodding her head, and we're stuck. At least we got away from cassette tapes. Okay, we can't find a player anymore. but we do still use CDs. Now DVDs are okay because that's more with it. Okay, but we still use CDs. Have you ever bought a CD and used it more than once? Yeah, I would think so. Nobody buys a CD and only plays it once. All right, I heard that. Don't need that anymore. And that's the way I feel about sermons. Okay? That's the way I feel about sermons. That might be justification on my part, but it's true. And so, the Christian who would not think of liquor can so readily fall into the sins of the tongue.
That's right.
And that's what these messages are going to be about, the sins of the tongue. Now, let me just introduce each aspect that we'll be dealing with, then we're going to go to prayer. And this is how the Bible lists them. The first one I'm giving is gossip. Now, you'll not find that word gossip. If you go to concordance, you'll not find the word gossip. But you'll find that the teaching of the Bible about idle talk and rumors about others and things that were better left unsaid, that which we would put under the term gossip, that teaching does exist. In a similar sense, you know, the term rapture, as we use it with the coming of the Lord, that term is not in the Bible, but certainly the teaching of it is. And there are things that are better left unsaid, whether they're true or false. You know, some people feel that, well, if it's true, that still doesn't make it right to say it. Okay? And we should never say that. That's not true. And that's correct. Whether false or true, there's some things that ought not to be said. Then the next term we'll look at is talebearers. And these are what we might call whisperers. And you can tell sometimes when talebearing is going on, and it involves slander, involves a wrong use of the tongue. It's when people are talking in hushed tones, okay? Mm-hmm. They're standing over in a corner and they're talking, and when others come by, they lower their voice. Now, if they're saying something that's private, well, then they need to go someplace that's private to talk it. Okay, but many times hushed tones involve talebearing. And then another term that you'll find in the Bible is slander, and that's falsely accusing. And it's used of those that are given to finding fault with the demeanor and the conduct of others. And slanderers in the Bible is when somebody goes about spreading inferences or innuendos about an individual and criticisms within the church, okay, that's slanderous. Now, we're going to look at Bible verses for all of these in the coming weeks. Evil whispering. And evil whispering in the Bible is used of secret slander. Whereas backbiting, that I'll get to next, that's used openly in a slanderous way. And then we'll look at the term backbiting. And that's formed from two words. One is against and the other is to speak. So to speak against is what backbiting is. And to speak against, let me quick turn here. I believe that we're in James chapter 4 and verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. See, talking to the brethren. He's not talking about unsaved people. He's talking about two Christian people. Speak not evil one of another. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And so he's talking here about speaking against. And in 1 Peter, the very next book, 1 Peter and chapter 2, and verse 12 says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Okay? Having your conversation. And that's speaking evil of someone. And you know, there in that 12th verse, he says, they'll behold your good works. When I think of good works, I think of things that we do. And no doubt it includes that. Sunday school teaching, singing in the church, holding an office in the church, things we do like those that clean the church. But good works includes much more than what we do. It's what we are. It's the good living that when the unsaved see the good life of a person. Listen, the unsaved don't see you here cleaning the church. They don't see you here down in the kitchen. They don't see you back in a classroom. What they see is that overall life. Do they see good living? And so backbiting involves speaking evil of someone, the same as it involves talking against someone. Then the last one we'll look at is busybody. And busybody is to be working round about others instead of at one's own business. Okay? I think this is not an anti-Facebook statement. Okay? I have a Facebook account. Pat looks at Facebook and communicates with many people. But sometimes when I get on Facebook and see the same person listing 5, 6, 7 posts, I think to myself, they're not busy enough. There's some things that they ought to be doing that they're not. Now, I'm not saying Facebook is busybody. I'm using it as an illustration, okay, of the fact that a busybody ought to be taking care of their own business, their own lives, and stop trying to butt into the lives of others. You're so much in control of your own life that you can take time to run somebody else's life? I don't think so. Or either I'm amongst a whole lot holier people than I thought I was. No, indeed not. Now, these are the terms that the Bible uses when it talks about the sins of the tongue. No wonder Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All of your life, all of the issues that come out of it, the key place is the heart. Not the blood pump, but the inner man.
Amen.
Now, Father in heaven, I pray that your spirit will not just dismiss